This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Can your savings weather an economic storm? There are very few physical assets you can invest in that are proven to stand the test of time. Gold has withstood as a valued form of money for millennia, and Birch Gold lets you convert a retirement account into a tax-sheltered IRA and physical gold that doesn't cost you a penny out of pocket. Text COAST to 989898 and claim your free info kit on gold. Text COAST to 989898 and secure your savings today.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
And welcome back. George Norrie with you along with Mike McCoy as we talk about his work, Asteroids Bridge to Nowhere. Mike, can you tell us about the Near Earth Objects Tracking Program through NASA? What are they doing on a regular basis for us?
Well, it's primarily JPL that's tracking. So they get their information from the Minor Planet Center, and they use two different programs. One is called Sentry, and they work to track the orbit of the near-Earth objects. And, they're watching them all the time. And then objects that they deem hazardous are being watched by another program called Scout. So they're always watching. They're always looking for all the objects that they've found. The problem is, they haven't found all of them. In fact, they haven't found most of them, probably.
That's scary. Now, what's the difference between a meteorite and an asteroid?
Well, an asteroid is an object that's out in space. A meteorite is actually the piece of the asteroid. As it's coming in, it's a meteor. When it hits the ground and it's a rock that you find on the ground, it's a meteorite.
And those could be baseball size, pebble size, just about anything.
Or larger. I mean, I saw one this summer in the Czech Republic. It was actually up in this kind of shrine in this church, and it was almost 2 feet in diameter.
We've got an astronomer, Mike, that comes on weekly. His name's Dr. Sky, and he has told us that a meteorite, the size of a grain of sand, can create that glow in the sky.
Yes. Yeah. So
it's amazing.
A lot of times when we have a comet pass nearby, like Halley's Comet, or we have these meteor storm meteor events. It's just a grain of sand or a small little rock. But every night, people don't realize that Earth is constantly under attack. Every night, there are thousands of meteoroids larger than a grain of sand. A small rock, maybe a foot or two in diameter, that creates a fireball. And just a few weeks ago over Los Angeles, there was a fireball in January. People spotted one on the East Coast, and there are actually thousands a day. We just don't see them because they're coming during the day, not just the night, and a lot of them are over the ocean.
Are we going to wake up one morning and find out that a city's been taken out by an asteroid that hit?
It's very likely. When the event in 2013 over Chelyabinsk, Russia, was a complete surprise.
You had a lot of people injured from that, too.
Yes, about 1,200 people injured. It exploded in the atmosphere, and with a force of 470 megatons. So there was quite an airburst, and that's what broke all the windows and injured people.
Is there a procedure by NASA and JPL to notify us? And if so, what's the procedure?
Well, I read an article recently, and it had 5 steps that NASA and FEMA would work together to have this process. So the first step is a text goes out to no more than 12 scientists. I don't know why only 12. And that's step one. Step two, they would track the asteroid's path. Step three, they'd determine the size and the time of impact. And then step four, they would confirm with FEMA that the impact is inevitable. And then step five, NASA and FEMA issue a joint public statement, and they would address how they would protect Earth.
Do we have a missile in place right now that could be launched at any time to hit an asteroid?
No.
We don't have one?
No.
Does the planet have one?
No.
We should.
You would think we would. You know, do you know that the planetary defense budget of the United States is $150 million? City of Los Angeles is spending a lot more than that just on homeless people.
Jeez. Well, we should spend more on homeless. That's
a
horrible situation.
Well, we should, but $150 million a year to defend Earth.
Why don't we have Russia, China, and every nation that has gone into space have rockets ready to go in any moment to hit an asteroid, if need be?
You would think we would, but I think, you know,
through the United Nations, we should do something.
We should, but we are going to have the very first planetary defense mission. It's called DART, and that stands for Double Asteroid Redirect Test. And it is the very first test to actually bump into an asteroid and try to move it.
You ever see Los Angeles traffic during rush hour?
Yeah.
So during an evacuation, can you imagine what it would be like? Nobody would get out.
That's right. Yeah, nobody would get out. If there was a disaster, you know, what I question is, on this five-step plan from NASA and FEMA, step five is making a public announcement. Maybe they would just skip step five and not tell us.
And if there's an asteroid storm, as you have in your book, it keeps coming over days. It's not just a one-moment event, is it?
That's right. That's right. Asteroids are coming from one direction in space. And as the Earth turns, you know, you're getting hit each day. And in the book, it's each night there's an asteroid storm.
We talk a lot on the program, Mike, about preparedness, about preparing with food and water and shelter. Can you really prepare against an asteroid strike?
I think if you know where it's going to land, don't be there.
No. Good advice.
Don't be there. You know, but there are a lot of concepts for planetary defense. We just haven't gotten to them yet. And, you know, I think that it's either, you know, it's out of sight, out of mind, or governments are just incompetent. In my reading, I was discovering that, you know, in 2013, the Russia meteor exploded, and in February 2013, and then September 2013, wouldn't you know that they reactivated this space telescope and repurposed it for looking for asteroids? And then this July, when 2019 OK almost bumped into us, in September 2019, after many years of planning and discussion, our government finally fully funded a new space telescope called NEOCAM that may launch as early as 2025. So that we're reacting to things. We're not planning ahead. We're doing these knee-jerk reactions.
Deep Impact was an asteroid movie. Yours very well could be turned into a movie, your book. But I think in that movie, we had an underground facility made for a certain amount of people, and that the masses found out about it, Mike, and they wanted in. And I think the president said, no, you can't go in. And, I mean, it was heartbreaking and it was sad. But all of a sudden, they decided, we're going to open it up to everybody, let everybody in. We're going to save the planet. And they did something like that. Do we have underground shelters for asteroid strikes for the elite and those, you know, types of folks?
Well, I would imagine on your show that topic's come up a few times.
It does come up.
You know, so I imagine we do. And, you know, in my story, there's a secret part of the, you know, part of the government knew the asteroid storm was coming. They kept it secret, and they built underground cities for their select few. and they kept it. They worked very hard to keep the whole thing secret, and they worked very hard when the asteroid storm was happening to not let people in and keep them out. They weren't as good-hearted as the president in the movie you talked about.
I heard that if they beamed a laser at the asteroid, that the heat from the laser could push the asteroid out of the way. Have you heard of that?
Yes, it's called laser ablation, and it actually is a it's been bandied about quite a bit. There's been some studies and things like that. You would have to have a spacecraft, you know, up near the asteroid and be powered by solar panels and things like that, and shoot a laser at it and try to vaporize or, you know, remove part of the mass of the asteroid. And if, you know, if it's strong enough and the mass isn't too big of the object, you might be able to inch it, you know, a little bit through space, but it would take a long, long time to actually move it. It might take years.
It might be. We're going to take calls next hour with Mike McCoy about asteroids and the threat of asteroids. It is something that we don't think about on a daily basis, but the threat is always there, Mike, isn't it?
It is. It is, very much so.
How have we been lucky enough to dodge this bullet?
Well, we've been lucky enough in our scheme of time, but Earth has been hit many, many times. And, you know, look at a meteor crater over in Arizona. It's a mile across.
Look at the moon. I mean, the moon was pocketed in its formation.
Yeah, the moon. So it's just a matter of time. I mean, NASA says it's a very low risk, and we're watching some obvious things. But, boy, if 2019 OK would have hit somewhere, it would have been a regional disaster.
Aren't we helped out because of Jupiter? Doesn't Jupiter suck some of these in?
Yes, it does. Shoemaker-Levy 9, you know, it got that one, and the, some of the impacts.
Oh, that was amazing to watch.
Yeah, some of the impacts there were larger than the size of the United States.
I used to know someone who worked at the Near Earth Tracking Center, Eleanor Helene. I don't know if she's still there or not. It's been years since I talked to her. Did you ever come across that name?
No, I haven't.
She might have retired. I mean, we're talking about 15, 20 years ago. What about technology? What kind of technology do we have to try to detect these?
Well, like you talked about laser ablation. So that's a technology, but it's not. There's no planned mission yet for that type of even to test it. So the very first planetary defense test that we have is this object called the spacecraft called DART, and it will launch in 2021, and it will impact a moonlet about 500 feet in diameter and smash right into it and try to move it. But they're saying that it might...
As a test. Watch it move it right toward us.
Just our luck. Some of these ideas of, you know, lasering things or strapping a rocket onto an asteroid is, you know, who's steering?
That's exactly right. Nobody's steering. That's the problem.
How do you steer an asteroid?
That is the problem. What size asteroid could take out a city, a conventional U.S.-type size city?
Well, NASA did a simulation in 2016 of a 330-foot asteroid that impacted Los Angeles. And it impacted cities, wiped out cities. And we're in a basin. It's pretty flat, you know, for 30 miles.
A 300 to 500 foot asteroid?
330-foot asteroid in their simulation, and it wiped out everything for about 30 miles.
Buildings, everything, just demolished.
And I went to, as you know, getting prepared for this, I went to the Impact Earth website from Purdue University, and I input a 500-foot asteroid made of iron, and because I wanted a good blast, and coming in at 15,000 miles per hour, and it created a crater 2.3 miles in diameter, 1,400 feet deep.
Jeez.
And if you were 6 miles away from it, you'd feel an earthquake, about 6.3 earthquake. Chimneys might fall and things, but it's not finished with you yet because 29 seconds after the impact, one airburst going 1,000 miles an hour will come through and destroy every building, multi-story building.
In its direction? Or does it go out all over the place?
All in every direction.
Oh, gosh. And for how many miles out?
That was 6 miles out. If you happen to be 3 miles from the impact center, you'd be buried under 23
feet. Oh, you'd be gone instantly.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, after that airburst, you don't want to, you know, come outside.
Is there radiation?
No, but
just too much dust.
44 seconds after impact, the ejecta, the mass.
Oh, you couldn't breathe.
Well, it comes out of the crater and starts falling, and you would have about 3 feet or so of ejecta, but some chunks would be 35 feet big.
And it would be steamy hot too, wouldn't it?
Yes, yeah, steamy hot, crushing buildings, cars, and people.
Oh my gosh, horrible. And if we ever tried to rebuild, let's say that area that got hit by a 300-foot asteroid, how long would it take to fill in a 2-mile by 1,500-foot deep crater?
Well, in Los Angeles, we might just turn it into a football stadium.
Or a lake.
A lake or something, yeah, a new reservoir. It would take a while to fill in that big of a hole.
Jeez. Now, what about odds? What are their odds, their computer odds, say, about the probability of getting hit? 10%, 2%?
But it's very low. I mean, if you ask NASA what's, you know, it's very low, and they say something like the asteroid in Russia might be once every, you know, 100 years, and maybe once every 500 years we might have something that's, you know, the 500-foot size asteroid. So they say it's, you know, very low risk, but in fact, it could happen at any time.
Well, that's right. That in St. Louis in 1993, we had what they call the 500-year flood, which means you get a flood that size once every 500 years. But what they don't say, and what is entirely possible, is let's say you get that 500-year flood. The next year, you could get another one for the next 500 years, but it could come that soon.
That's right. That's right.
That's frightening.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern, and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables. Ooh, yum. And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.